I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is a special hour of KSL's Unrivaled, the Pac-12 Championship. All the angles, all the strategy, the biggest talk about the biggest game on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome on in to KSL Unrivaled. It's Matt Biamonte and Sam Farnsworth. We're in here for Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell, not here today. And man, I'm pleased and happy to be joined by KSL TV, KSL Sports TV anchor Sam Farnsworth. Glad to be here with you, Sam.
Yeah, this is going to be a good time, a fun show tonight. A lot to talk about for sure. Yeah. We've been already discussing a lot of things, so it's going to be fun to dive right in.
Yes, we're gonna talk to Jeremiah Jensen in a little bit. He is live at the Pac-12 Championship game. We are keeping tabs on that right now. Oregon leads it 10-0. What are your early thoughts from that first quarter, Sam?
Man, not how I would have anticipated at the beginning, right? I mean, Oregon's offense was at will. That very first drive, they ran the ball for 46 yards. Utah's defense only gives up 56 yards rushing per game on the year, right? And for Oregon to do that, they've got some good running backs. They have a couple of running backs that are both 700-plus yard rushers,
right?
Both average about 6 yards per carry. I get it. They've got that kind of an offense, but this is not Utah defense. Now, having said that, that was the start. I think, obviously, these last two drives, even though Oregon got all the way down to the one-yard line, I think these last two drives and the one that's going on right now is much more of the Utah defense that we're used to seeing that we should expect to probably see throughout the remainder of this game.
Yeah, and you have to think that Utah is almost fortunate to be in the position that they are, only down 10 points right now. Mm-hmm. A few moments ago, it looked like Oregon was going to – well, they did block the punt, yep. But it looked like they were going to scoop it and take it back and make it 17-0, and instead, looks like Utah here is about to force a punt.
Yeah, I mean, they had the first and goal from the 2-yard line. They were able to hold them to a field goal there. Like you said, the blocked punt that could have been returned. And with the way that our offense had been moving, you kind of expected them to get at least in the field goal range again, but the defense buckled down. Here again, they're going to get the ball back on a punt in the midfield range. So things could have been much uglier than where they're at right now for the Utes. So if you're a Utah fan, they're down 10-0. You can't be too stressed out, I don't think, right now. There's still a lot of football left. This year, they've had two games where they've trailed by 11 at Washington. They trailed by, 13 or so against USC. They lost that game to USC. At Washington, they came from behind to win. So they've been in this situation before. They know how to come back and win. So
we'll keep some tabs on this game, and we're going to talk much more about Utah and the college football playoff, and that's where we want to start things off with The Cut.
The Cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. It's 7:05. Here's what made the cut.
The top sports story, Sam. It's undoubtedly the Utah Utes. They're in the Pac-12 championship game. And the question that I really want to move into with you is, if Utah wins this game, should Utah get that fourth and final spot in the college football playoff? What say you, Sam?
So there's obviously a lot of things that tie into the decision-making here. What's going to happen with Georgia is the very first – well, okay, the very first question is Utah has to win, obviously.
Yes.
But that's what you're asking. If they win here, what happens next? So
what's
going to happen with Georgia and LSU? If Georgia wins that game, there's no keeping Georgia out of the top four. Does LSU fall out? Most likely they do not. And your current four will be the four that there is, assuming you know that the other teams win as well. For Utah to get in – okay, obviously LSU needs to win. it would be nice if Oklahoma lost to Baylor.
Yes.
If you're a Utah fan, yep. then there's not that discussion. Will Oklahoma leapfrog Utah? Utah needs to win this game with a little more style than the way it's began. You know, if the defense buckles down and Utah adds four touchdowns, let's say, then I think it's a pretty good win. But there's a lot that goes into whether Utah gets in or not. And not to go too far down some other rabbit holes here, but I don't think enough people have talked about what happens in a playoff scenario if Virginia beats Clemson. Now, I know Clemson is a big favorite for that one. But if Virginia beats Clemson, that's a team ranked 20 spots lower than Clemson. I don't care if Clemson hasn't lost yet. If that one loss comes to a team ranked 20 spots lower than you, are you really not going to fall out of the top four? Yeah. I just don't see how that can happen. And I know a lot of people argue, well, Clemson's a defending champ. They've got such and such many wins in a row. I don't care. You lose your conference championship game to a team ranked 20 spots lower than you, you don't deserve to be in the current playoff situation that they have, which is just four teams. And so I think that's another big game that there's not a lot of talk about. I still think Virginia has a chance, and if they do win, that's going to throw a wrench into things as well.
For me, I mean, we're going to talk about this a lot, and we want to hear what you guys have to say as well. So if you guys have opinions, and we hope you do, feel free to text us 57500. Let us know, is it Utah? If they come back and beat Oregon, should they get in? Should it be Oklahoma? Should it be Georgia? Because I think even if, you know, there's a conversation to be had with Georgia as well. For me, if Georgia loses and Utah wins and Oklahoma wins, I think Oklahoma deserves to get that fourth spot. I think they have a little bit better of a resume. And if I were on the committee, this is the argument I would make, Sam. As a college football fan, all these people are, you know, we love college football. Something I absolutely love, 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 love about college football is that from week one until week 12, everything matters. And I want to encourage teams each and every week to play big games, to schedule good opponents. And if you look at Utah's non-conference schedule this year and in years previous, it's been weak. And you mentioned the Clemson thing. The argument the counter argument I would make against that is they hosted Texas A&M, an SEC team. They they demolished South Carolina, not a good team, but also an SEC team. I want to reward teams, and this applies to Oklahoma as well. They played UCLA. I know UCLA is not good, but these games are scheduled long in advance. You can't really control that.
Right.
But they scheduled a Power 5 game. They hosted Houston at home, and Houston's kind of, in my opinion, an equivalent to BYU.
Right.
It's a quality, maybe not quite Power 5 game, but it's a quality game. I want to encourage and reward teams like Oklahoma to play better non-conference games. And if Utah had swapped out Northern Illinois with even a Purdue or an Indiana, I'd feel differently. But as a college football fan, I want to reward teams that go above and beyond in the non-conference.
Yeah, and I guess you could say, obviously it depends on where you stand on this whole spectrum with where BYU is. Is BYU considered a P5? Some programs say, yeah, BYU is a P5 type program.
Right.
So you do have that on Utah's schedule, right? But are they a P5? Are they an upper tier G5? You know, where do they stand?
Totally.
But the fact that they have played, you know, Northern Illinois and Idaho State and whatnot. That doesn't help your schedule so much.
No.
And I agree. You know, but you could say, you know, Oklahoma played South Dakota as well, you know. So they had
They got the UCLA and the Houston.
They did. Houston's a 4-8 team. I get it.
Yeah.
Like you said, you do scheduling well in advance.
Right.
And it's the same problem with BYU and Utah as well.
But,
you know, Clemson's only win against a ranked opponent, Texas A&M at the time was ranked 12th. They're not even in the rankings now. Texas A&M, they're not as good as they were thought at the time. So the strength of schedule-wise, all three of those teams, their strength of schedule, I think, my notes are all over the place. Clemson was 65th in the country. They have a worse strength of schedule than Utah.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
I mean, yeah, I get it. Oklahoma's resume, yes, it probably is stronger than Utah's. And I hate using the eye test.
Yeah.
But I think Utah, every time you watch them play, especially these last six or so weeks of the year, they have been so solid.
Yep.
Dominant defense.
Yes.
And a very well-tuned offense.
And that's what makes this so hard, is because it's so subjective. Because we don't really know what the criteria is. Sometimes you hear, we're looking for the four best teams. Well, how do you even define what best is? Is it the four most deserving teams? And that's why, you know, when I was kind of laying out my argument for Oklahoma, that's where I kind of used my preference, and it's hard to decode what the preference is going to be. But I love what you brought up about BYU. We got to continue this on the other side about BYU, G5, P5, what is it, how's it fix in?
Yeah.
So we're going to continue this discussion on Utah, the fourth spot. Is it Oklahoma? Is it Utah? We're going to keep that going on the other side. So don't go anywhere. We got much, much more to go here on KSL Unrivaled. Utah is down right now, 10-0 to Oregon. And before we get to a break, we got to get over to Dave Noriega, who's at Century Lighting. Dave, how's it going? Dave, you there? All right, we're gonna try and get Dave on. So can't hear from Dave. Not sure if we want to go to break here, but either way, more Utah discussion on the other side, and then we're going to have Jeremiah Jensen, hopefully, to break down the first half. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more here on KSL Unrivaled, powered by KSL Sports.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.